Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mission Month. And that is why I'm excited to come here, because walking with Jesus for 53 years, there is nothing more important than being involved in that which is closer to the heart of God. And I want to say to you, church, this morning, mission is the church's primary mission, because mission is the only reason why you and I are sitting here today and praising God. Because my Bible told me, for God so loved the world, that love caused him to undertake a mission of sending his own personal and only beloved son. And because he came, you and I can embrace his love, can embrace heaven, and you and I will experience eternal life. And you and I can be involved in mission. You know, I've walked with Jesus for 53 years. And I'm telling you that this Jesus is for real. I was a sick boy in my high school for 4 years, sick with malaria. I looked for medication, I pray, but nothing happened. See, my problem was I was looking for healing. Nothing wrong for looking for healing. Like if you're hungry, you look for food. If you're thirsty, you look for water. That's okay. That's normal. That's being a normal human being. I was looking for healing, but unfortunately, for the following 4 years, nothing happened. Until one day, 53 years ago, I embraced a person. I come to know Jesus. And do you know what? When Jesus came into my heart, I got so excited. And the reason I was excited was because for the first time in my life, I realized that my sins were totally forgiven, past, present, future. Now, that's a deal that you can't buy anywhere, my friend. And I knew that heaven will be my home. And I knew that God is my Father. And I have received the gift of eternal life. And when you know something like that, you get excited. And I remember thinking to myself, I better tell everybody in the world about this Jesus. So I went out, met my neighbor, Johnny, and I said, Johnny, you got down to your knees? And Johnny said, why? I said, don't be asking questions. You can do that with your friends, okay, but not with others. You know. With your good friends, you can. So I said, Johnny, you know, confess all your sins. He said, which one? I said, the ones you can remember. The ones that you don't, I will remind you about it. That's what good friends are for, you know, I think. And so I said, Johnny, the reason for you to confess your sins is so that you can be forgiven. But then the most important step that you need to take is that ask Jesus to come into your life. Because Christianity is not sitting between the four walls of a building. Because this is not the church, ladies and gentlemen. You are the church. This is the building that house the church. And so I said to Johnny, my friend, I said, you accept Jesus. So he did. And so after he did, I said, Johnny, now your sins are forgiven. Heaven will be your home. God is your Father, and you have received eternal life. And ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I just want to remind you, if you haven't accepted this Jesus, don't miss it. Right now, right here. Without your neighbor have to know, just say, Jesus, I receive you into my life. Okay, if you have never done it, young lady, have you done it before? Ask Jesus to come to your heart. Good. Come here, I'm going to hug you. That's a smart kid that I've seen. All right. And so, everybody here, including my friends from Korea here, you know, welcome here. They are from Seoul. Kamsa Hamida. And so, make sure that you embrace this Jesus, that he become part of your life. You know why? I'll tell you why. I started by telling my friends Johnny and then the next neighbor. And so I started 53 years ago, and for great reason and good reason, I haven't stopped yet. As a matter of fact, I'm looking forward for the next 50 years at least, if Jesus tarries. You know, I'm only 72 years old. And ladies and gentlemen, San Marcos was the place that Jesus sent me to come and stay with for about 3 years, or live here about 2-3 years, just off Barham Road. If you follow Barham, you go up to that eastern part there. There's a new development then, 40 years ago. It's probably an older development now in Via Dorado. That is where I stay. And we went to the church across the street. What do you call that church there? Yeah, it was Trinity, and it was, we used to call it then North County something, Christian Center and whatnot. And so I embraced Jesus 53 years ago. I was so excited. I went everywhere to preach the gospel. Haven't stopped yet. I've been in every country in the world that you can mention. And that is a miracle in itself, because if you grew up where I grew up, in the poorest and the most primitive island in the world, in the middle of nowhere, in the Pacific, you cannot go anywhere, because in the natural, it is impossible. But ladies and gentlemen, not in Jesus. Jesus has sent me all over the world. I'm excited to tell you this morning that he has impacted the life of millions. I just came back from Portland the other day, preaching in a Vietnamese church there. And the pastor said to me, "Hey, Brother Mel, I just want you to know that some 30-plus years ago, we took your book, Like Am I to Win, and we translated it into Vietnamese, and 1.5 million people minimum has come to know Jesus because of that." I said, "That is wonderful." I just came back from Ashtabula, Ohio, and the young pastor that picked me up from the airport in Cleveland to go there, he said to me, "Hey, Brother Mel, I need to tell you something. This bishop in Nigeria just told me the other day that he read Like a Mighty Wind 40-some years ago. It changed his life. And then, because of it, today he's the pastor of 400,000 people in somewhere there in Nigeria. His life changed, not because he read Like a Mighty Wind, my book. His life changed because when he read the book introduced him to the person of Jesus. It is Jesus that have made the difference." And so you see, I went everywhere, and I remember one day thinking to myself, "Boy, I forgot to ask Jesus to heal me." You know, because I was, remember I told you I was sick with malaria? Because I was so busy telling people about Jesus, I forgot to ask for the healing. Well, but no problem. I remember thinking to myself, you know, it has been a month, and I feel pretty good. Well, I think I'm healed, but let's just not get too excited yet. You know, like the Pentecostals, you know, when they got a goosebump, they got excited. I grew up in the Presbyterian church, so if I'm going to get excited, I'm going to get excited with something that's for real. Not that goosebumps isn't real, it is, but it's kind of like in the lower totem pole, in my opinion, you know. I mean, you can have it. You know, if you want to feel, you know, kind of like the manifestation, go for it. I have nothing against manifestation. But ladies and gentlemen, let's go beyond manifestation. You know, after you shake and after you feel something, let that feeling propel us unto something that is eternal. All right? So nothing against the manifestation. I just say, let's go beyond it unto something that will make a difference in the life of many. And so, about 6 months later, I remember thinking, "Gee, I'm feeling good. I must got the miracle already." Well, a year later, ladies and gentlemen, I knew that Jesus is for real, because this malaria that I've had for 4 years wasn't there. Well, today, 53 years later, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that I've been walking healthy and strong for 53 years, ladies and gentlemen. That is Jesus. You know what? I looked for the healing for 4 years and found nothing. But when I found Jesus, I found the healer. And when you found the healer, well, healing is a big bonus. And not only healing, because Jesus is not only the healer, he is the Prince of Peace. You find the Prince of Peace. Peace is yours. Well, you can go to the beach and feel a little peaceful. But, you know, after you got hot, you probably just figure it's time to go home. Peace in the beach is temporary. But peace from the Prince of Peace is eternal. So, ladies and gentlemen, encounter Jesus. Well, there's a story that I want to read for you this morning for this first Mission Sunday. You're going to have three Mission Sundays coming up, so you just better really be ready for it, ladies and gentlemen, because God has something for the people in the summit. Now, when the morning came, Matthew chapter 28, all the chief priests and elders of the people confer again. Oh, no, I'm reading 27. That's what happened with these little things here. They change without your permission. So modern technology is good, but watch it, okay, young people? Watch modern technology. Don't let it use you. You use it, you know? You know what I mean? And don't let it use you. We got two kids sitting here, and they were talking to each other. And you ask them, what you doing? Oh, I was talking to him. You're talking to him? He's sitting next to you. Why don't you put down the stupid thing and talk to him? You see what I mean? Use the technology, but don't let the technology mess you up. Especially for the young people. You know what I'm talking about. All right? My phone just told me. I just saw it the first time. And said, this week you have used, I don't know, whatever amount of time, whatever, looking at the stupid thing. I said, shit, I didn't ask you. But I look at it, I said, I think that's a little too much. You know, it tells me that I use how many hours looking at this thing here. Well, I want a little information from, not from Siri, but from the Holy Ghost, as to how many hours I've spent with Jesus this week. And I want the hours that I spend with Jesus this week more than the hours I spend looking at this stupid thing. You know what I mean? Use it, but don't let it use you. That's what happened, ladies and gentlemen. This stupid thing just about mess up my thing. It goes to Matthew 27. I'm changing it to Matthew 28. Because that is mission, ladies and gentlemen. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, like Sunday today, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. Isn't it interesting that the girls always look at the grave? It was Sunday morning. They went to the grave. Isn't that the tendency of human beings to always go toward the grave? He hurt my feelings. You know what? I came to church today and pastor said hi to me. But Teresa hugged the other girl and forget to hug me. That is looking at the grave. The place and the reason to get your feelings hurt, so that you got the stink of the grave to bother you in your walk with Jesus. The girls were going to the grave. My husband, you know, when we were dating, man, he was the sweetest dude in all of California. But now with three kids, or now that, whatever, man, he's the worst jerk I've ever seen around. That might be the truth, but that is going to the grave. Oh, America. You know those Democrats, those Republicans, those independents, those whoever. Everybody got their problems. Of course. But I suggest to you this morning, this is Mission Sunday. Mission Sunday is not a time to go to the grave. Because when you go to the grave, ladies and gentlemen, there's death there. There's disappointment there. There's confusion there. There is war there. It stinks if you go to the grave. Ladies and gentlemen, the girls went to the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake occurred. Oh, sometimes we need a little, earthquake to just shake us up a little bit. You know that? We need a little earthquake to shake us up a little bit. And I pray, ladies and gentlemen, that this week, the beginning of Mission Sunday and this month, that the Holy Ghost will just shake you up a little bit. We all need a little shaking up. We all need to be reminded there's a God in heaven. There's something bigger and better than the grave. We all have the tendency to move toward the grave. Oh, but when the earthquake occurred, an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who has been crucified." Well, at least he gave the girls the credit. The girls were looking for Jesus. That was good. The only problem with the girls is they went the wrong place. Jesus ain't in the grave. If you want somebody to feel sorry for you, so you just play the pity party, you ain't gonna find Jesus there. Because Jesus ain't in the grave. Granted that you're looking for Jesus, but you want to look for Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, look for him, not in the grave. The angel said so. And so the angel said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into the summit. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So if you go to the grave, you're going to miss Jesus. When you go to the summit, when you go to the mountain, when you go to Galilee, instead of the grave, you go to Galilee. There you will see him. So mission first and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, is encountering Jesus. Seeing Jesus and his glory. Hearing Jesus and his command. That is the foundation of mission. When you see him in Galilee, when you see him in the mountain, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to encounter Jesus. And that is the beginning of mission. I encountered him 53 years ago. Haven't stopped going to the nations. And on my way to the nations, I met very many beautiful and special people. Roland and Heidi Baker, I met them 40 years ago, like Pastor told you, and I was the best man in their wedding. Send them to the first missionary trip in Indonesia. Have been with them all these years. They have made an impact in the nations. But also there's another couple. I don't want them to be concerned about it for anything. I met them. You know, this couple. You're in the right place, ladies and gentlemen. You are in the summit. Because it is in the summit that you'll see him. It is on the summit that you will behold him. It is in the summit that you will hear his voice. It is in the summit that mission will be released. And they left the tomb quickly. Smart girls. Quickly. Quickly they left the tomb. Sometimes we took forever just to leave the tomb. I talked with somebody the other day and they said... You know, I said, "Oh, well, you're heartbroken, yes. Oh, when did this situation happen that somebody hurt your feelings or did you wrong?" "Oh, it's about 20-some years ago." I said, "Good Lord!" The person hurt you 22 years ago and said something that, you know, don't quite agree with you, and you have been grieving and upset about it for 20-some years. That is too long hanging around the grave. You know, you live in the grave for 20 years. I mean, you're going to end up looking like a mummy and smell worse than that. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, Holy Spirit, talk to something here this morning. Oh, Lord. Oh, well. And so they left the tomb quickly. Somebody, leave that tomb quickly. Forgive that husband, that neighbor, that stinky, whoever that is. Forgive them quickly. And quickly means now. So, Lord, I forgive them. They've done me wrong. But never mind. I'll forgive them quickly, right now. Leave the grave quickly. Because you know what's going to happen? When they leave the grave quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. Behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. You know the reward for leaving the tomb quickly? You might feel like, I'm going to hang on to this feeling that I have, you know, I'm mad. Leave it quickly. Why? Because you shall be met and greeted by Jesus. Jesus will say to you this morning, good morning. Good morning. Good morning, son. Good morning, daughter. Good morning. I love you. Thank you for coming to the summit today. I have something special for you because you have decided to leave the tomb, the grave, quickly. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take my word to my brethren to live for what? Live for Galilee. Live for the summit. Because there in the summit, they shall see me. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer that this morning on this first Mission Sunday, you shall see him. And seeing him, you shall hear him. And hearing him, you shall obey him. See, the angel told them to leave the grave and go to the summit, Galilee. From the grave to Galilee. It kind of rhyme. Never mind, us preachers like that. But then, Jesus told them the same thing. When they left the tomb quickly, he met them and told them to go to where? To the summit. To go to Galilee. Now look at the third thing that happened. What happened when they went up to Galilee? Let's go to verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, the mountain that Jesus has designated. It's not enough to hear the angel tells you to go somewhere. It is not enough to hear the prophet who came here, Sean Bowles or whoever your favorite prophet came here and speak to you. That's okay, but it's not enough. It's not enough to hear what Jesus said. Though it's good to hear him say what he said. But it is important to proceed, put action to your faith. Do what the Lord wants you to do. What is the use of Mission Sunday, ladies and gentlemen? And we hear about mission, and then a year later, we're still warming the pews and haven't done nothing. Ladies and gentlemen, 53 years ago, I found Jesus. And I haven't stopped this last 53 years. I put action. All I did and capable of was going down to the village nearby. I didn't even have shoes, didn't have a bike, didn't have a horse, but I went where I can. I put action to what God told me to do. And you know what? You go down to the village because that is all you can do then. I promise you that 50 plus years later, you will be in the summit in San Marcos, California, meeting beautiful people here who love Jesus. And not only San Marcos, California, but I've been in every nation of the world. Seeing people's lives change and miracles like you can only imagine. These last 53 years, I've tasted water that was changed into wine. I've seen people that is raised from the dead. Let me tell you a quick story here. I just came back from Madagascar, and a pastor friend of mine set up this meeting. We have 10,000 people in the soccer field. Yours truly was preaching. About 3,000 plus people accepted the Lord, and a couple hundred of them want to come to the front to be prayed for healing. But I said to the pastor, why don't you pray in your national language so they don't think that, you know, if Mel pray in English, Jesus hear them. And when they pray in the national language, then Jesus wouldn't hear them. So I said, you pray in the national language, your national language. He said to me, Papa Mel, he called me Papa Mel because I'm 72 and he's only 45, bless his heart. And so I'm old enough to be his father, but I'm his mentor. So he called me Papa Mel and said, Papa Mel, the Lord told me we don't have to pray for them one by one. I said, thank you, Jesus. That is correct. I don't feel like praying for them one by one. I just finished preaching for an hour. And by the time you finish for a couple hundred people, you're going to be dead to yourself. And I'm not looking forward for that. So I said, what did the Lord told you? He said, the Lord said, you stand on the edge of the platform. And we have a big spotlight behind here. And so you just tell the boys and they will lit up the spotlight. I said, And then when they put the spotlight, your shadow will move from one end to the other. And I said, I've been in the ministry for 53 years, and somehow I forgot about that. You know, it happened to Peter a long time ago. Well, if it happened to Peter, why shouldn't it happen to us? My Bible said Elijah is the same man like you. He pray and the rain don't come. He pray again and the rain came. He is a man like you and I. Well, it happened to Peter. And so I said to them, hit the light. So they hit the light and I saw my shadow from here to in the end of the soccer field. I said, boy, that's really, because they turn off the rest of the lights, you know, in the soccer field. So you can see just a shadow. And he began to move the floodlight behind me, and the shadow moved all the way to the end. And it moved there again. And of course, I don't want to stand there like a statue, so I just move along. You know what I mean? I'm going to participate. You know what I mean? And so the shadow moved all the way to the end and back to the middle. And I said, cut it off. And then the pastor stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, whoever that has been healed tonight, come up here and give your testimony. Hundreds of them line up. The next 2 hours, everybody have 15 seconds to testify. And the first one that came forward was a young man, 23 years old, who were born deaf and dumb. Haven't spoken a word in his life, nor heard a word in his life for 23 years. He was the first one up front. So the pastor asked him, you know, in the language, Malagasy, what did Jesus do to you tonight? Didn't realize that he was deaf and he was dumb, you know. So the pastor just asked him the question. And the moment he asked the question, the young man opened his mouth and said something. And the moment he says something, the whole crowd in the whole soccer field erupted in African praise. La, 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 la. You know what I mean. I mean, they were wild. Because the team just won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Team Jesus just gave the devil a touchdown, a heart. You know, Team Jesus just make a touchdown, you know? And so the reason they were all screaming, because all of them knew, let's call him Johnny, the 23-year-old deaf and dumb Johnny. So the moment Johnny opened his mouth and spoke, they knew that the miracle has taken place. Because Johnny hasn't spoken for 23 years. Johnny haven't heard a word for 23 years. But that night, Johnny heard the pastor's questions. And Johnny answered the question of the pastor. And ladies and gentlemen, everybody realized that Jesus was in the soccer field and Jesus have done the miracle because the shadow have touched them. I remember thinking, gee, my shadow is doing good. And the Holy Spirit said to me, hey, it's not your shadow, boy. It's the light that caused the shadow. But it ain't that light back there. It is the one who say, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. So ladies and gentlemen, the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus has designated. I just told you about the miracle that happened in Madagascar. After the blind, I mean the dumb and the deaf young man, this crippled one, and they all walk and running back and forth, you know, like fools. No, not like fools, like happy Christians that just getting healed, you know. But I mean, what I mean is they make a fool out of themselves, you know, running back and forth. And we said, hey, quit it, you know. The next one need to give the testimony, okay? You can walk to your neighbor's house tomorrow and tell them, you know, that you got healed last night. As a matter of fact, when you walk to your neighbor's house tomorrow, you didn't have to say nothing. Because when they saw you walking up to the door, they have known you crippled all these years. Then when you walk up to the door, they will know that something has happened. Instead of you telling them something happened, they will ask you the question, what gave? What happened? And you can tell them that Jesus healed you that night when the shadow passed over you, when the light of the world shine upon the darkness of the grave of humanity. So I can tell you about, you know, people who were raised from the dead and all that. But ladies and gentlemen, This is America. We got excited about things that is exciting, but it's not eternal. Somebody raised from the dead, that's exciting. But that person's going to die again 10 years later. So it is exciting, but it's not eternal. Miracles are exciting, but it is not eternal. Blessings are exciting. The new car, the new Lamborghini that you got, US. That's not a prophecy, nothing. So don't get excited. Okay, the new car. Call your car Lamborghini, or whatever you call it. You know. That car is new, but that car is an eternal. One of these days, the stupid thing is going to break down on you. No prophecy, I'm just talking reality there. But you know what? Miracles are good, but it's not eternal. But ladies and gentlemen, salvation is eternal. Jesus is eternal. So why mission, ladies and gentlemen? Well, they came and met Jesus, and Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel. I will be with you forever. That is mission. Mission is coming up to the mountain that Jesus have designated and hear him give us the command to go to the nations. Why mission? Ladies and gentlemen, because heaven is real and eternal. Hell is terrible and eternal. I just have a friend text me here the other day. She married with, let's call him John, Johnny. They've been married for 40 years. Johnny just kicked the bucket, bless his heart. It wasn't bad. He went to heaven. And the wife, Barbara, texts me and say, Mel, you know, Johnny passed away. She texted me this about a month ago, so I send my condolences and that kind of good stuff, you know. You know, I know it's sad when the husband of 40 years just, you know, gone, you know. And so she texts me again the other day. She said, Mel, I'm just heartbroken. I miss Johnny so much, you know. And she wants a little sympathy, bless her heart. So I text her back and I said, you know what? You ought to be missing Johnny. That is understandable and that is natural and I feel for you. But I said to her, I can show you the text. It's going to cost you $5 to do that. If you want the picture that somebody just sent me when I was standing up there and the shadow happened, it's going to be $100 for mission. And then you can see the picture. I may look it, but I ain't stupid. I can tell you that. So, what was I telling you a second ago? Somebody remember? Oh, Barbara. I'm talking about Barbara. So, that's a text. Barbara's text is cheap. It's $1 for Barbara's text. So, you know what? I text Barbara back. I said, Barbara, I appreciate you missing Johnny. But turn the missing Johnny to make sure that you and I do something about it. So that many will not miss heaven. You miss John, that's okay. But what happened? Do we have the passion? Do we have the tenacity? Do we have the love for the lost? And we'll do something about that and introduce them about Jesus so that those many in the nations will come and be with Johnny in heaven. That is mission, ladies and gentlemen. It is doing something by obeying the voice of Jesus. We need to bring as many as possible to heaven, ladies and gentlemen. And how can they get to heaven unless you and I tell them about heaven? Wouldn't it be terrible that on your way to heaven, your neighbor look at you and said, you know, where are you going? He said, yeah, glory, man. I mean, you're going to heaven? Yes, sir. Well, what about me? I'm going the wrong place. And you said, well, I'm sorry. And wouldn't your neighbor said, how come you never tell me about the way to heaven when we are neighbors, when we go together to San Marcos, whatever that school, the university, college down there. What happened? We meet each other in San Marcos all these years. You are my neighbors. How come you never tell me the way to Jesus? That is why mission is important, ladies and gentlemen, because heaven is a wonderful place. Heaven is eternal. But the other side of the coin, mission is important because hell is a terrible place. I have my friend here, Bill Wiss, that he told the story how the Holy Spirit of God took him to hell for 23 minutes. And then he came back. He wrote the book, 23 Minutes in Hell. Bill Wiss is a good friend. We have been friends for 40-some years. So his experience was real. And Bill Wiss said, the thing about hell that is so terrible, it's not only the fire, not only the pain and all that, but the total hopelessness and separation from God for eternity. And he said, hell is so terrible, your worst enemy shouldn't go there. Ladies and gentlemen, that is why we have mission. We have mission, ladies and gentlemen, because heaven is eternal. You know, we have mission because, ladies and gentlemen, hell and heaven is there. And we all are heading that direction, hopefully to heaven and not to hell. But how can they go to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, to that eternal life, if nobody take mission seriously this morning and encounter Jesus and decide to do something about it? ¥7 billion people alive in this world today. And they will not know about heaven unless you and I tell them about it. And they will never escape hell unless you and I tell them about Jesus. That's reality. 100,000 people died every day, and most of them don't know that Jesus has come for them. And ladies and gentlemen, that is terrible, that is obscene, and that is unacceptable. We're here today, and Jesus is saying to the disciples, and by extension, he's saying to you and I today, he said, go unto all the world to preach the gospel. I came to San Marcos 43 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. And since I came to San Marcos, I've gone to the nations. And I came back to the summit in San Marcos today to say, hey, let's go for it. We, the people of San Marcos, you know, we're not known anymore by the cow patch and the smelling of the manure of 78 and Barham Street. From this day on, we're going to be known as the church of the summit, as the people who have encountered Jesus, as the people who are mission-minded, as the people that realize that eternity is long and eternity is important. We need to bring people to embrace eternity. Why? Because when they embrace eternity, the eternal will impact the temporal. When you embrace Jesus, Jesus will impact this life here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to Indonesia in 2 weeks' time. Why? Because a tsunami just happened after the earthquake. And after that tsunami, we have the volcanic eruption. So I'm going to go there and help those people there. And I told my people over there, I'm going to meet them in 2 weeks' time. I said, it is terrible that many of them died. Unfortunate. That's just, you know, it's terrible. But something worse than that is that those who escape death in tsunami will go to hell because we didn't tell them about heaven and Jesus. What is the good of escaping the tsunami and then die and go to hell? Let us use this opportunity to tell them, because when they are suffering under that tsunami and all that, their heart are tender and they're ready to do something to embrace Jesus, because that is very, very important. Let them embrace eternity, because when they embrace eternity, the eternal will impact the temporal. I can tell you the story about my pastor friend in Madagascar who picked up the phone when somebody called him because his husband just died and the doctor gave him the death certificate. And the pastor said, the same pastor friend of mine that, do the shadow, and Pastor Rodolfo said to the wife, put the phone on his ear. So she put the phone on his ear. Pastor Rodolfo prayed, and when he finished, Johnny woke up or came back from the dead, and she dropped the phone, and Steve Jobs was glad he invented the phone, and the man came back to life. But like I said, you know, we can tell that story later. I rather not tell the story and you go to the mission and you encounter your own story. So you can come back and give your testimony that when we are in Botswana, when we are in Nepal, when we are in India, when we are down in Brazil, Jesus rose somebody from the dead. That's a better way to do it. I can tell you all the stories, ladies and gentlemen, but I came here today because I encourage you to go forward to the hospitals and to your neighbors so that you can bring them to Jesus, so that the miracle will happen and you will tell your story. So Jesus said to the disciples, go unto all the world and preach the gospel. Stand up, everybody. I only have a few minutes to go. I got a little excited this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mission Day. One of them who were there who met Jesus, his name was Thomas. Thomas is what? The doubter. He doubted because maybe either he didn't believe or he didn't understand. Or he probably think mission is totally impossible. How can you go into all the world? There is no Air India, there's no Emirates, there's no American airline. It is a long way to go from Galilee to anywhere. He couldn't quite understand how can it happen. Crazy, crazy. But Thomas listened to the voice of the Master. And ladies and gentlemen, the great doubter went the furthest. All the way from Galilee to India. Next April, I will be there in the place where Thomas came. And I'm going to tell the Indian people, mission is important because it is our responsibility to finish that which Thomas started 1900 years ago. That is mission, ladies and gentlemen. Mission because whenever we go, Jesus will be with all of us. Oh, I can tell you a story that make your hand, I mean, your hair stand up, you know, and got you excited and, you know, begin to do a little somersault here. But ladies and gentlemen, like I told you, miracles are exciting, but miracles are temporary. Oh, but eternity. Eternity is eternal. Jesus is the one. He is the reason for mission. His presence will go with us if we go unto all the world and preach the gospel. So I came this morning because I'm looking for somebody who will turn away quickly from the grave. Part of the grave said, oh, I can't do it. Then turn away from that grave, I can't do it. Quickly, empower and encounter Jesus in the summit of the Mount of Galilee. Because ladies and gentlemen, when you listen to his voice and you go, he will be with you and he will change the destiny of nations. After 53 years, I know what I'm talking about. I've seen the life of millions change. I've seen miracles like you have never seen in your life and you can only read in the Bible. And I'm here to tell you, I'm looking for a man and I'm looking for a woman. Maybe a little doubtful like Thomas. Maybe thinking I can't do it. Maybe thinking I'm too old for that. Huh? Ask Moses. He was 80 years old and he was on the top of the mountain. None of you here are 80 years old, if I have to guess. Maybe close to 80, but not 80 yet. And if you're 80, there's a burning bush, the presence of the great I Am that will impact you today. So anybody here from young Jeremiah to old Moses, the one who was just born again or the one who has walked with God for a long time, listen to the voice of the Master. I came this morning for this Mission Sunday just looking for somebody. Looking for somebody that will embrace Jesus and obey him for mission. Either by going personally or by giving of your resources to make it happen or by praying so that those that will go will accomplish the mission. I'm looking for one that's going to say yes to Jesus. Who is that one? Who is that one? Who is that one? You're so quiet. I'm looking for an answer. And I'm 72 years old. I'm 72 years old. I need a little more respect than that. Who is that one? Then come down to the front quickly, please. To the front quickly. Those who say yes. I mean, don't be moseying on like, you know, you're having, you know, unless you have a little trouble with your knees, you can take a little time. But everybody, down here, please. Everybody. Hey, this young man from, young lady from Korea. I'm 72 years old. I don't take no for an answer. Just so that you know. I don't take no for an answer. You know, because I know what I am pushing you toward. I'm pushing you toward Jesus. I'm pushing you toward a destiny that will change nation. I'm no apologist here. If somebody will tell you, Mel is coming and push the thing down our throat. Yes, I am. I push Jesus down your throat. I push the Holy Ghost into your heart. I push you onto your destiny. Yes, and no apology, ladies and gentlemen. Because I'm looking for that kind of man and woman who come to the summit, encounter Jesus, and then change the world. Are you that one? Then pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I am the one. I hear your voice. And together, we will do a mission to change nations. Amen.
I was thinking about this and just praying and asking God just for the souls, just asking for the souls of people. There's a purpose. There's something behind the mission. Like he said, it's not the mission. You don't seek the healing. You seek the healer, and the healing comes. And, you know, there's a face behind the mission. Every soul, there's a face, somebody whose lives will be changed for eternity. And we can't ever forget that there's a face behind it. And I just wanted to just say something today. I know that we have we were talking about the teams that go. And I think even for a church, I was even underestimating. I asked Pastor Teresa with Mel there, I said, how many people went on missions last year? And the percentage, it was higher than I even thought here, which is a good thing. So I'm so thankful how many people did short-term missions trips. Yes. We have doers. But you know, I just want to say thank you to the donors as well. And I just want to say the doers can't go without the donors. And a lot of these students that we mobilized, they couldn't have gone without the donors. And I was telling this to Mel this morning. I said, you know, Mel, I think maybe, I just wanted to just emphasize how much Jesus loves you and how important it is that sometimes we just do what Jesus told us. Some of you, you're doing things. You're a doer in your business. You're a doer in your field. And I just thank you for supporting that. I think when somebody is stuck on earning and they're pressed with making money and they don't have a heart for Jesus, that's a whole nother thing. But I just want to say thank you to so many of you that have helped to mobilize the doer who will go. But I'm just saying you're a doer if you sow. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying thank you. With all my heart, thank you for those who go and those who sow. And I just know God loves you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.